This is John Dale broadcasting from the corner of Canyon and Jackson in sunny Spearfish, South Dakota. Sunny Spearfish, South Dakota. Move you right just a hair. There we go. Okay, cool. What do we got going on here? Well, the first thing we need to do is unplug our heater. Jess, would you take care of that? Boy, I hate that when those heater vents start. It seems like that ambient noise is so annoying. We're doing a live format show now. Our first few goes at this, we would pre-record it and then post-process it and get everything lined up. But we're just going to kind of do it like a pro might do it. And we're going to have a live radio format. So that's what this is. If you'd like to reach out and contact me about any of the content that you hear on this program, that information is info@plainstribune.com. I would love to hear from you. On this broadcast, we're going to look at one of the most amazing artists in the history of music. And once you've heard his name on this broadcast, it'll probably engender some memories. If you don't know who this is already, this dude is something else, I'll tell you what, and I can't wait to talk about him. He's one of my absolute favoritest musicians in the wholest, widest world. Then we're going to look at some music festivals. What's going on in music festivals? Talk a little bit about music. And then last but not least, I would like to share with you a project that is underway that is nowhere near finished that I'm super excited about because I get to work with my family on this project. It's called Hut Cut. And the Hut Cut is, well, I tell you what, that's on the last segment. You're not going to want to miss that if you're into architecture, if you're into the intersection of building stuff, environmental stuff, and art. And also, I'll go ahead and give you a little teaser here. Reclamation, mining reclamation, that's what that is about. Now, a lot of you know me or have come to know me via my broadcasts. I've been broadcasting since 2017 really heavily, but really I did some of my first broadcasts, I think even before that, in 2015, 2016. I've been recording even before that, but through that whole pandemic thing is how I made my name in internet broadcasting. And you may have come to know me as a bit of a rabble-rouser, but I'm not. I'm really not. The Overton window has shifted, and the stuff that's allowed in public discourse now is just, it's changed. Nonetheless, I've created this space here at Plains Tribune in order for people to have a bit of a break from that. It's still informative content. It's still interesting content, educational, just like always. It's just some topics are a little off limits for this particular format. Until we get people more comfortable with what we're doing and they can trust that we're not out to hurt anyone and information is pure unadulterated power. And I take that responsibility seriously. So we've changed our format here at Plains Tribune. However, for those of you who have come to know the other more rough, sharp elbows side of my broadcasting, there is a place for you to continue to get that. I'm still doing that kind of analysis because that is my civic duty. I feel like that's one of my callings is to get into some of that more controversial information too, but not in a way that's disgusting, disparaging, vulgar, slanderous, or libelous. If you'd like more information about that, we still have 1 minute to go on this, by the way, this first segment. If you'd like more information about that, I'm happy to share that with you, but I'm not going to advertise it here. So just drop me a note, info@plainstribune.com, or you could send a text message to 605-644-7337, and I can get you more information about that because I know a lot of you have become more civic-minded, and I think even some of you think that I have given up on that aspect or I have won some epic battle and feel like I don't need to do that anymore. That couldn't be farther from the truth. In fact, some of the content that we're getting into on that other place that I'll be happy to share with you if you do reach out to me is just as interesting and informative, but also shocking as always. Things haven't really slowed down on that front. But for this hour, we're just going to take a little break from it all. We're just going to take a breather, man. You know what I mean? We're not going to get too serious here, but it'll also be enriching and fulfilling, but in a different way. Thank you for joining me on this broadcast. We'll be back right after this short message, and we'll get going on our content. Growing Business Solutions is an LLC started in Tucson, Arizona in 2004. This is John Dale, everyone. I founded Growing Business Solutions as the master's thesis for the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship, Concentration in Entrepreneurship. Since then, I've worked professionally in enterprise software, delivering solutions to healthcare. I've delivered encryption software for the largest credit union in Canada. I put together a 52-gun raffle for law enforcement, a law enforcement association. I've delivered for higher ed, K-12, and other firms. I can design and build these applications from the ground up. They're scalable, fast, secure, privacy certified. I can also conduct audits, and I can perform consulting of many different technological varieties. Again, that's growingbusinesssolutions.com. Thank you. Hey, how's it going, everybody? We're back. Thank you for listening to our short message there. I guess, what was that, Casey? A Growing Business Solutions commercial? That's my LLC, by the way. And if you'd like to get in on some of this advertising, you just let me know. We do charge about $5 per 30-second segment, so it's quite affordable if you'd like to get in on some of this advertising space here at PlainsTribune.com. So let me tell you a little bit about one of my favoritest people in the world, okay? This dude is, I don't want to say he's one of my idols because that word is so overloaded. He's not really one of my idols per se, but I guess, you know, if anybody was, it would be this guy because of the profound effect that he has had on my life. Absolutely masterful. I've heard that he's actually on the spectrum, on the autistic spectrum. Let's bring that level up just a tad, Casey. I noticed that it's a little low over there. By the way, Casey, thank you for being in the studio with me here today. Jessica also. Jessica's handling some of our research in line. Casey is doing the production, and this will be on her resume, actually. Good job. So, Bela Anton Leos Fleck, born July 10th, 1958, is an American banjo player, but he's more than just a banjo player. This guy's a virtuoso, an acclaimed virtuoso. He's an innovative and technically proficient pioneer and ambassador of the banjo. I got this from Wikipedia, by the way. He plays classical music. He plays bluegrass music, jazz, rock, various world music genres. He's best known for his work with the bands Newgrass Revival and Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. Fleck has won 15 Grammy Awards, for those of you who put stock in that type of thing, and he's been nominated 33 times for Grammy Awards. In 2020, he was inducted into the International Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame as a member of the Newgrass Revival. That's Bela Fleck. When I was in high school, my buddy Andy. Andy is a ginger. He's got freckles and the red hair. He loves to laugh. And he really inspired me in a lot of ways to play music and to make myself better musically and to not be afraid to let music be a part of my life. Music is used by a lot of people for some bad stuff, I think, but not by Andy. Music is the heart and soul of this guy. And this is the guy who first showed me Joe Satriani, another virtuoso. He taught me to have a higher standard for music. And that's Andy. And he's just a fun-loving person and a really great guy, a flawed human being. We are all flawed. Andy's got his flaws too. But I suppose this segment's just as much about him. You've never heard of him before, I'm sure. Well, maybe one of you has. But it's those people in our lives that put a little marker across the trail for us. And one of those markers that Andy put across my trail was Bela Fleck. The guy plays the banjo in such an incredible way, and I studied his music with headphones, in car stereos, on the home stereo. I mean, studied it directly. Not from an academic perspective, but listening over and over. And to this day, I cannot listen to a Bela Fleck piece without hearing something new that I had not heard before. It's that incredible. And it culminated for me with an album called Tales from the Acoustic Planet. That record is so profound. I'm getting a little choked up just thinking about how amazing it is. From Jamie Lynn, spelled differently than Spearfish's own Jamie Lynn, for what it's worth, to Cheese Balls in Cowtown. Song after song on that album is just incredible. If you don't own this album, you should, and you're into music and you want to enrich yourself, let me lay that marker across your trail and pay that forward. Because Bela Fleck and his music is in particular on this album, it's kind of like his crowning opus to me, in my opinion. Since then, he's married Abigail Washburn and had children, and he's still touring. You can still see him live, and it's still incredible. But that album is so special to me. I like it maybe most of all because of its acoustic nature. Now, later in this hour, we're going to get into some of the music festivals that happen around the country to celebrate the creation of these vibrations that go from instruments, including the vocal instruments, and carry through the air. Vibrations that carry through the air. And they reach our ears and our inner ear and get transduced into electrical signals that light up our brains. And without music, I don't think I would feel whole. And it doesn't have to be heavy metal or death metal, although I appreciate those genres. It doesn't have to be bluegrass, and if you don't play it exactly like Doc played it, if you don't play it exactly like the old greats played it, then it ain't bluegrass. It's not like that at all. In fact, I love fusion and interpretation. That's what makes Satriani so great. That's actually what makes Bela Fleck so great. Although, a lot of people would agree that Bela Fleck isn't as good at bluegrass as you might think. I find it kind of interesting that he was inducted into the Bluegrass Hall of Fame, probably because there isn't a Hall of Fame that would hold the guy. But it's a special part of my life. And a lot of you go to church and sing. You'll sing hymns. That's music, folks. Country music, outlaw country music, modern country music. You might like Taylor Swift or Pink. Not huge fan myself of those, but that's okay. It's music. Same phenomenon. And it's a powerful weapon. Music is a type of information. It's a carrier wave. Not all information is letters and numbers. Some information is in terms of vibrations, colors. But music is one of those special aspects of human existence that gives me great strength. And I know it gives you great strength too. And that's why you'll sing in church, or that's why you'll sing at the Thursday night karaoke. That's why you sing in the shower or in the car or turn the radio on where you go. Have a list of your favorite podcasts and a list of your favorite tunes that you've downloaded to your various players of various sorts. And every once in a while, somebody comes across your path who shifts your paradigm a little bit and puts you in awe. I like to think that I've been that person for some of you. And I know that I've been influenced in that way by people like Bela Fleck. You got to go check this out. Anybody that writes a song called Flight of the Cosmic Hippo deserves 3 or 4 minutes of your time, at least to give it a test, right? Flight of the Cosmic what? Flight of the Cosmic Hippo. Victor Wooten plays the bass guitar in the Flecktones. On that particular song, he plays a fretless bass, and I can just hear it in my mind right now. And I can't, we don't actually have the ASCAP and I think it's BNI fees paid up to be able to even play that song. Although, maybe we'll bring it into a segment here. Maybe we'll cue it up and maybe just bring you 10 or 15 seconds of Flight of the Cosmic Hippo later in this broadcast. Because it's incredible, an incredible song, Flight of the Cosmic Hippo by Mr. Bela Fleck. And I just wanted to share that with you. He was a marker put across my trail by Mr. Andy, one of my dear, dear friends in this life. And I'd like to put that marker across your trail, as I said. So stick with us. We'll be getting into some more content here in this hour regarding music. We're going to talk some about the music festival, a couple of them, actually. We'll be talking about something going on in Spearfish with the Ruth McClung Memorial Band Shell. And then to top it off and finish it off, we'll be going into the Hut Cut. So stick around. This is going to be a quick 4-minute break. I hope you'll check out these advertisements. This is how we're trying to support our operation and our broadcast here. So give a listen. We'll see you back on the other side.
Hello, everyone. This is John Dale. I want to share something with you that is near and dear to my heart, and that is my computer monitor. I'm a computer professional. I sit in front of this thing for my job every day, sometimes as much as 18 hours at a time. Over the years, I've been doing this for decades. I've developed something called computer vision syndrome. I have light sensitivity issues when I look away from the monitor. Now, if I step away from the computer for a while, it feels better. But I have to work. I have to get my job done. And that's why I prefer digital ink monitors by DB Tadom. These things use that digital ink like an e-reader, so you don't have this light blasting into your face. They're awesome. Check it out. Go to dbtadom.com today. When the internet first came out, it promised to connect the world, and it did. Unfortunately, baked into the internet is the ability to get information about other people. Like lots of information. Of every imaginable type. We believe over time that by respecting your right to privacy, our communities become stronger and more trustworthy. At dbtadom.com, we believe that is a good thing to work for. Thank you.
The Light Phone 2 is a premium, minimal phone. It will never have any social media, clickbait news, email, an internal browser, or any other anxiety-inducing infinite feeds. It's an experience we call going light. It's a phone, it calls, it texts. There's a customizable menu of simple tools and a dashboard website to manage everything. There's a headphone jack, Bluetooth, and it can be used as a personal hotspot. The phone uses unique electric paper screen technology, also found in popular e-readers. This does not emit any blue light like a traditional backlit screen. It's visible in direct sunlight and limited to black and white, intentionally. So if you're interested in the Light Phone, go to thelightphone.com and tell him John Dale sent you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is John Dale broadcasting from the corner of Canyon and Jackson at plainstribune.com. We're getting into some art and music today on this hour. This Friday, what do we call this? We call it the Friday mashup a lot of times. It's got some big picture elements. Mostly it's just me sharing some of my experiences and insight with you after researching in various fields for a long time. And you start to notice opportunities when you're looking out a lot. When you're paying attention, you're what I call a high information person. You start to look and you bird dog stuff and you see where the trails are going. You know where the water is. And you just get a good feel for stuff. And in this particular case, I want to talk about, first of all, a memory. Some very, very great memories I've had here in Spearfish, South Dakota. If you've never been to Spearfish, South Dakota, bring that vocal level up just a little bit there. If you've never been to Spearfish, South Dakota, you're missing out, especially in the summertime. It gets a little harsh in the winter, but it's still a beautiful place to be and to visit, and also a pretty good place to live. We have our own issues here we're addressing, but doesn't everybody? There's this thing called the band shell down at City Park. City Park is huge. I think as a percent of square footage of Spearfish, it's one of the biggest parks ever. And it's got a great campground right next to it that you can come camp very close to amenities here in Spearfish. You'll love it. Come and visit us sometime. If you live here, I guess you don't need to do that. But come on down to the park. If you've never been, holy cow. And if you have, come on back. And if you haven't been in a while, why not? We got this band shell down there. And I remember when I was just a little buck, a little button buck, about 5 years old, stomping around down there at the park, running through the trees, in and out of the sunshine. And when the sprinklers would come on, running through them sprinklers. Oh, it was awesome. Going down to the creek and just wading in that cold, cold South Dakota creek water. Coming down the hill, and every once in a while you'll see a shadow dart out at lightning speed from underneath your feet. And then there was this, they had just one big old metal slide at that time. They didn't have this elaborate playground. And they had like four big old huge swings. They were big to me, I'll tell you. Probably just a regular size swing set. But they had wooden seats on them. And then big, long, like maybe 8 to 10 inch pieces of iron that were connected together with eyelets on each side instead of chains. I don't know if you were here when you were a kid. You probably remember those swings. I'll never forget them. And you'd find your way because you'd explore this whole park. It was just an absolute wonderland. It was incredible. You'd explore the whole park, and eventually you'd find your way over to the band shell. And they had stairs on each side of it, and up and down them stairs, and running across it playing tag, and just getting your wiggles out, man. You know what I mean? Getting them wiggles out, stomping around. Eventually you'd go stomp in the middle of that band shell, and something was different. It all sounded different up there, stomping around back and forth because of the way that it was structured. That thing was mathematical. There was something special about that spot, and you realized it as a kid. I don't ever remember when I was that age anybody even playing music there. I only remember, music and Spearfish when I was a kid. I think I remember them playing over in Belle Fouche because they had a band shell over there, which is also very nice, by the way, over in Belle. They just redid it. They just rebuilt it and put all new wood in it. It sounds incredible. I think it even sounds probably a little better than the one we have here in Spearfish because it's spherical. That's important, is for it to be spherical, left, right, up, and down. Because somehow that seems to me to preserve the aspect of the sound a little better. But I digress. I'll never forget the sound and how shocking it was to go up there. And then you'd go, hey, 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 hey. And it'd come right back at you. Clap your hands a couple of times and it would come back at you. It's a special place. So is the pavilion over there, by the way, as a side note. I don't know if you guys ever went over there and roller skated, but I did. I remember roller skate nights over there before we moved away to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. I was a real little kid when we did that. But fast forward to 2023, and well, now we actually have a concert series going on over there in the park. They call it the Canyon Acoustic Series, and now if you look at that old band shell, I'm 48 now, so it's been well over 40 years since those days of being a little child and stomping around in the Spearfish Park, City Park. And it's starting to sink. You can just see it. It's starting to sink. The foundation's kind of settled in real good, and it's starting to sink down after probably quite a few big torrential rainstorms. It's settling in, and eventually it will fall down, as all things do. Despite the best efforts and intentions of man, it all crumbles to the earth again. But that's okay, the fleeting nature of our existence, right? While you're here, shine like a diamond. That Wednesday concert series is pretty special. It's got a lot of people in attendance. A lot of people go to it. It is not a music festival, however. Part of me kind of wishes maybe that it was more of a festival environment where you're encouraged to bring your own instruments. I think that would be a real value add, is to bring your own instruments and to encourage people to play music themselves. Because you go there and it's really great bands that most of them aren't from around here. And there's a few hundred people all just sitting there, just to letting those bands of work, soaking it up. I think those folks ought to be moving around a little bit themselves, don't you? It could be more of a festival environment for that, just as a friendly suggestion for an event that is already fantastically successful. Maybe try to encourage people to bring their instruments by, especially on those really, really nice days. When it's a good day, you can just tell, not a lot of wind, between 80 and 89 degrees Fahrenheit out there. Bring your banjo, bring your get fiddle, bring your violin, bring your fiddle, bring your mandolin, bring your dobro. Pick a little bit while you're there. I think that should be highly encouraged, and start that event early. Get that going early, and maybe even provide some chairs and tables that are real conducive to that. But that concert series goes on Wednesdays, and you ought to go down there and support it, because those are real people playing real music for real listeners in a really cool band shell, a historic band shell that is being rebuilt, by the way. So go get involved in that. When we come back, we'll be talking about a music festival here in kind of our neck of the woods that has been closed down. So give a listen here. We'll be right back. Growing Business Solutions is an LLC started in Tucson, Arizona in 2004. This is John Dale, everyone. I founded Growing Business Solutions as the master's thesis for the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship, Concentration in Entrepreneurship. Since then, I've worked professionally in enterprise software, delivering solutions to healthcare. I've delivered encryption software for the largest credit union in Canada. I put together a 52-gun raffle for law enforcement, a law enforcement association. I've delivered for higher ed, K-12, and other firms. I can design and build these applications from the ground up. They're scalable, fast, secure, privacy certified. I can also conduct audits, and I can perform consulting of many different technological varieties. Again, that's growingbusinesssolutions.com. Thank you.
This is John Dale. I want to share something with you that is near and dear to my heart, and that is my computer monitor. I'm a computer professional. I sit in front of this thing for my job every day, sometimes as much as 18 hours at a time. Over the years, I've been doing this for decades. I've developed something called computer vision syndrome. I have light sensitivity issues when I look away from the monitor. Now, if I step away from the computer for a while, it feels better. But I have to work. I have to get my job done. And that's why I prefer digital ink monitors by DB Tadom. These things use that digital ink like an e-reader, so you don't have this light blasting into your face. They're awesome. Check it out. Go to dbtadom.com today. When the internet first came out, it promised to connect the world, and it did. Unfortunately, baked into the internet is the ability to get information about other people. Like lots of information. Of every imaginable type. We believe over time that by respecting your right to privacy, our communities become stronger and more trustworthy. At dbtadom.com, we believe that is a good thing to work for. Thank you.
Take a moment to pause and ask, why did you get that?
Putting our producer through some paces here. The ability to pull up something and get all the levels right, it's actually a trick, especially when there's a little bit of pressure. So that's Flight of the Cosmic Hippo. Make sure that that's stopped now. Yak, thank you. We don't want to play too much of that. We don't want to violate any rights, but I hope you at least got a taste for that. It's a little strange. It's some hippy-dippy stuff, but at the same time, you hear the bluegrass roots behind it. I'm not one of those people that think we should freeze time on music and then it only gets played one way. That said, I do believe in preserving the history of how it was done originally. And that's why we have audio recordings, so that you can actually go back and listen. And if some people like to put that puzzle together, I can't begrudge them that, right? They can do that. But that's Flight of the Cosmic Hippo. My favorite, though, is Tales from the Acoustic Planet, and you should go get that album. It's incredible. It's incredible. Cheeseballs in Cowtown is one in particular. But one of the great things, I think, in music that, you know, and anytime anything is great, it's going to attract all manner of people, and you got good and bad with that, don't you? But the Bighorn Mountain Festival, the committee had 14 years doing this festival, And it was a real asset to the community. It was a premier musical event over in Wyoming. And it had some of the most amazing people and musicians attending that. The format was kind of like you'd get together and you'd play with other people and cross-pollinate musical ideas. And it was a party, too. There were people who go there for the party. But mostly people just went there because they wanted to make their own music. And they wanted to meet other people who liked music. And there were religious people and non-religious people there, but there was one common thread that ran through it, and that was that everybody loved music. Unfortunately, though, that one kind of went, it's gone now. I think the last time they had it was 2019. It looks like it was a casualty of that whole deal, that pandemic thing. And it hasn't started up again, but don't count them out. Because it looks like they may actually be trying to spin that up again. And that one's one that's in our area. And as more information becomes available about that, we'll try to keep tabs on it and let you know if it's coming back. Because it's an incredible, unique experience. For the people who attend it, they love it. Now, another one I want to talk about in this little segment we have here. Every June, this is the big one, the annual Telluride Bluegrass Festival. Now, North Carolina would maybe differ, beg to differ. But the Telluride Bluegrass Festival happens in June. Festivarians make the annual pilgrimage to Telluride. Nestled in the rugged San Juan Mountains of southwestern Colorado, the Telluride Bluegrass Festival is not only an iconic representation of all kinds of music, but a place of awe-inspiring beauty. Somewhere you can dance under the solstice sun. I probably wouldn't do that. And embrace your truest self. Certainly doesn't get better than this, according to their website, of course. So let's see here. The Telluride Bluegrass Festival is June 20th to 23rd in 2024. The Rocky Grass Festival, July 26th through 28th. The Folks Festival, August 9th through 11th. The Wildflower Pavilion, fall of 2023. I think that one already happened. Rocky Grass Academy, July 22nd, 2024, and the Song School, August 5th through 8th, 2024. Now, I have never attended any of these. I have never attended them. Very busy with family, or there were financial constraints, or I was double booked. There was always something that seemed to get in the way of being able to go attend these. But I got the music in my soul. You all know that. Been to quite a few concerts, just never these festivals. But I would love to see, honestly, one of these festivals come to our area. Absolutely would love to see one of these festivals come to our area. Now, if you're not... I keep hearing typing. Is that related to something we're doing here? Keep hearing typing. We have another producer in the studio who looks like she's a busy little beaver over there on the internet. She's giggling. What are you giggling about? Yeah. What were you giggling about a minute ago? She's giggling over there like a little schoolgirl. Anyway, I would love to see one of these festivals come here to the Black Hills region. I think that it's primed for it. Absolutely primed for it. I'm not so sure about the sun and moon worship. I don't know. Maybe that's one of the reasons that we don't have that festival here. But I think that there's certainly nothing wrong with people getting together and sharing music together. I think that's just my humble opinion. There's got to be a way to structure it and appeal to the crowd who doesn't make it quite such a spiritual experience as much as just a great, simple opportunity to make human connections in this very difficult world. Because we didn't just lose the Bighorn Mountain Festival in 2019. We lost a lot more than that. And I think that it's up to us to get together and see if we can't reclaim some of that territory and do it in the right way that doesn't make it weird. Hey, Casey, pull up the song list from Bela Fleck's album, Tales from the Acoustic Planet. There's one particular song in there. I want to play just a little bit of that for you. This is producer Casey, by the way. Thank you very much again, Casey, for being here today. So what's that list here? Tell me some of the songs. Up and Running, yeah. What's that one say? Backwoods Galaxy, Cheeseballs in Cowtown. What's the next one? Bicyclops. Play Bicyclops. This is an incredible song. I believe this is the a piano and banjo duet. Go ahead and hit that really quick. Mute it until that commercial's over, though. Don't you hate that everything gets a commercial painted over it? Seems like some of this has inherent value, but maybe doesn't get respected. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and run that. Here we go. This is Bicyclops. Tell me if this is a piano duet. Yeah, okay.
Four
better bring that down before we get in trouble. That's Bicyclops. How about let's play a little excerpt now of Cheeseballs in Cowtown and then contrast those two songs, and the differences in styles that you can get from one song to another with this guy are just incredible. He's an absolute virtuoso. Some people say that Bela Fleck is actually on the spectrum, the autistic spectrum. I can kind of believe it from the way that he approaches music. I can kind of believe that. Go ahead and run that. Let's run now. This is Cheeseballs in Cowtown. Now, this one's a little bit more like has a bluegrass feel to it. And both of these songs are from Tales from the Acoustic Planet. I highly recommend you go out and buy this right now if you're the type of person who digs music. Go ahead. So Bela Fleck will be back on tour in January of 2024. That mic is really hot right now. Sorry about that, folks. I hope I didn't scare you. Bela Fleck will be back on tour in January. You can go just Google him and look up his concert schedule and catch one of those if you can. He may even be in attendance at some of these big bluegrass festivals. Highly, highly recommend it. So, gosh, what else can you say about this? We have some events here in Spearfish, lots of open mics and stuff like that. But is this, let's get critical for a moment. Shall we get critical for just a moment? Are we on break? Oh, awesome. We're supposed to be on break right now. Hey, we're still practicing this. Thanks, folks. We'll be right back.
This is John Dale. I want to share something with you that is near and dear to my heart, and that is my computer monitor. I'm a computer professional. I sit in front of this thing for my job every day, sometimes as much as 18 hours at a time. Over the years, I've been doing this for decades. I've developed something called computer vision syndrome. I have light sensitivity issues when I look away from the monitor. Now, if I step away from the computer for a while, it feels better. To work. I have to get my job done. And that's why I prefer digital ink monitors by DB to Dom. These things use that digital ink like an e-reader, so you don't have this light blasting into your face. They're awesome. Check it out. Go to dbtodom.com today.
Hello, everyone. This is John Dale of Pretty Little Ditties. I play original music, and I do a lot of improv with my presentation. Every performance is different. I also love to teach and interact with people who appreciate and enjoy live music from a real person. I have deep knowledge and experience in music, and it comes through in the playing that I work hard to be able to bring to your event. If you'd like to have me out, please don't hesitate to drop me a note at info@plainstribune.com. Again, that's Pretty Little Ditties. That's what I'm calling my little music venture. So I'd love to hear from you. Thank you. Perfect.
When the internet first came out, it promised to connect the world, and it did. Unfortunately, baked into the internet is the ability to get information about other people, like lots of information of every imaginable type. We believe over time that by respecting your right to privacy, our communities become stronger and more trustworthy. At dbtodom.com, we believe that is a good thing to work for. Thank you.
I suppose it's probably a good thing that we went to break before I got critical, because I think I said my piece about the Spearfish band shell and the Canyon Acoustic series and maybe a suggestion for improvement. Also, during the break, we found out that Earl Scruggs' 100th birthday celebration is on January 6th at the Ryman Auditorium, the famous location of the Grand Ole Opry, and guess who's going to be there? Mr. Bela Fleck, who recently won another Grammy for his most recent album. What was the name of that album again?
My Bluegrass Heart.
My Bluegrass Heart. Bela Fleck just won another Grammy for that, so you can check that out. I still think that it's just because of the timing of it and everything, Tales of the Acoustic Planet, the timing that it came into my life and how I've studied it, that it's very difficult for that to not be my favorite Bela Fleck album, but maybe I'll check out this new one and see how it goes. We've been living in Spearfish now for going on... is it 13 years now? It'll be 13 years this to next month, right?
No.
12 years next month? Okay, so we're in our 12th year here. We'll be in our 13th year around like December. We'll have been in town for going on 13 years. And when we first moved into town, the first rental we moved into was not suitable for us, and we were literally forced to move out of it and moved into this Quonset hut at the corner of Canyon and Jackson. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but if you drive by, I think it's probably the second busiest intersection in town, maybe the third busiest intersection in town, but it's a very busy intersection. I went to elementary school right across the street from here, kindergarten and first grade. And we're catty corner from Papa Murphy's Pizza, and we're right across the street from Barbacoa's. And it's a Quonset hut, like one of those, you know, it's a half circular shaped building with a corrugated roof. And that's where we've been living for about 12 years now. One day I was up in Lead driving past the open cut, trying to figure that thing out. And I was just walking along and looking over the edge at it and admiring its grandeur when I saw a free viewing area. I saw a free viewing area, so I toddled up there, and then I noticed you had to pay 25 cents for the binoculars. It was a free viewing area to inhabit, but you couldn't actually use the binoculars for free. You had to pay, I think, 25 cents for those. I got a kick out of that. But I was looking down into that thing and thinking, wow, you know, every time it rains, that's going to wash a bunch of stuff down through into the aquifer and into our watershed. And I happen to think that the water is a precious commodity to me. And I think the natives, what do they say, Miniwachoni? I'm not super, super religious about it. I just am I'm a free market guy, and I think, you know, I'm a businessman. And when I look at water, I see something that's actually more valuable than gold. But I look down in that cut, and I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people are proud of that, that their ancestors excavated that out, and they extracted all those minerals and stuff that went into the goods and services and products that make our lives easier and actually are quite fun if you get right down to it, a lot of the products that get built with that stuff. But I thought, what could be done with that? What could be done with that? And since then, I've, you know, been by it a few times. We've watched the fireworks show that they have right above the open cut, and that's incredible. If you've never seen that fireworks show, you should go check it out. Celebrate our country and our republic in style. And the sounds that come out of that thing as those fireworks are exploding over the top, they boom in the air, creating these big concussions that go and reverberate down through and up and out of the cut. And as the smoke accumulates, and if it happens to be a humid night, it gives it an incredible muffled sound. One of my favorite things to do is watch a fireworks show up there. But as you look and gaze down, a guy like me, my mind just never stops, you know. My imagination is going 100 miles a minute. And, you know, living in this Quonset hut down here in Spearfish and then going by that up there, I thought, what might be kind of a neat idea? And I'm married to a wonderful woman, Jessica. She's here in the studio with me now. And she's got incredible talents when it comes to architecture. She even has a degree in architecture. And she's NCARB, is it certified? Is that what that's called? The certification in NCARB? So she's got her NCARB. We'll call it that. I'll say it like a hilly billy. She's got it. She had her NCARB certification. So she, and she's worked professionally in architecture. So I thought, what, you know, having a family live here in Spearfish in this thing right next to the road, we've got a dog and we've got a little kid, you know, I'm always worried about that and the traffic noise. People in the middle of the summertime, they drag race off of this corner, and it's kind of annoying to try to do radio or studio production when people are drag racing out in front of your house. And it's not, in my opinion, it doesn't, it's after being here, if there's anybody qualified to say, I suppose I would be qualified to say that it's probably not the best place for a family to live. We've made the best of it, though. We've made the most of it, and being so close to amenities, it's nice. There are a lot of people who would commit, you know, heinous crimes probably to be able to live here, but it just doesn't seem like the best possible use of this place. And so it got to thinking. We don't own it. We rent it from the Williams family. Williams Properties, more specifically, their corporate entity. We rent it from them. And I just, you know, I've been in this place year after year after year. And I've got to thinking, wow, I had an idea. I had this idea and everything. And I was wondering if you thought this is a good idea. So what I thought would be kind of neat is to put a mining reclamation university up there in the open cut. So harvest water and sunlight energy up there and create a botanical garden and office space and classrooms down inside of it. That's my idea. And I'm like, I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I'm saying, you're crazy. What a stupid idea that is. You're crazy. And that's the first 10 times I thought of it. Like really, the idea just hits you like a ton of bricks, you know, boom. What if you did this? And then you get critical of that idea, whether it's you saying it or somebody else saying it. You tend to get critical of those types of big ideas. It's pretty easy to take pot shots at it. And I did, but every time it hit me, I'm like, you know what? That is a multi-billion dollar project that involves It's a civil project, huge engineering, civil engineering project. It cross-cuts university, it cross-cuts mining, and it solves a problem, a very, very big, important problem that needs to be solved is what to do with that cut. It creates housing. It creates energy. It creates food. It's in, you know, after thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, but, you know, if I'm that critical of that idea, imagine how critical other people, especially decision makers, are going to be. They're not even going to take it that far. They'll just go, that's a dumb idea, and they'll never think about it again. So I thought, but what if we could somehow inspire those decision makers by showing those technologies here at the corner of Canyon and Jackson? What if we could demonstrate the idea here? Because this is not the best, and you can disagree with me, but have you lived here 12 years? I'm an authority on whether or not this is a good spot for a family, and it's been a struggle, I'm not going to lie. Having a family home off of the main highway here, it would have been much better because we've lived in a family home before. And I'm not complaining. In fact, quite the opposite. I would like to solve the problem. I would like to inspire the decision makers about that open cut up there and say, you know what, this is a multi-billion dollar project. Let's get the grant money together. The conditions are right for doing a project like this. Let's inspire them by what we do here at the corner of Canyon and Jackson. So it's already got the curved shape of the roof. It's getting dilapidated. I can tell you from the inside, there are some things of this property that are getting pretty dilapidated anyway. And it's time to start thinking about, you know, a remodel anyway. And what if we could create some bang for the buck here and try to inspire, first and foremost, let's inspire the Williams family. So we've started on this project, and the project is conceptual. We need to try to demonstrate and communicate how it works to inspire the decision makers in our area who would get behind this and have all the connections to go get the money to do it. How do we inspire them to do this project? And I think it is to do a set of drawings that correlates the two and demonstrates those technologies. Now, we have a long way to go. We have nothing really that even gets close to communicating that message so far, but we have started this, and I wanted to share that with you to try to get going on that inspiration. Thanks so much for joining me. You all have a great day.